mini episode 557 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 557. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Mad Men episode 7.11, titled Time and Life. Of course, this segment is co-branded as usual with NotJustAnotherTVSite.com, where you can also find my weekly reviews of Mad Men. Here's our top five developments from episode 7.10 heading into this week's installment. Number five. Chances are that we've seen the last of Johnny Mathis. Primarily used on the show as a foil for the storylines of major characters, the young copywriter, prone to the occasional stumble, ended up in hot water with a client and sealed his doom by misunderstanding Don's advice. However, he also served a purpose in his departure by holding up a mirror, yet again, to how people perceive Don and how he perceives them perceiving him. Number four, Betty's growing up, however belatedly. Refusing to be provoked by Sally's sass, letting down Glenn gently and legitimately feeling for him, who are you, pod person, and what have you done with Betty Francis? Remarkably, Betty's decision to go back to school, born of her realization in the first half of the season that everyone sees her as the vapid trophy wife that she is, seems to have given her the peace of mind that she's never had before. Sure, she's still prone to douchey bragging about her husband's connections, but she's showing a kindness and empathy for others that have always previously been lacking. Better late than never. Number three, more Freudian sexual nightmares provoke Sally. Especially after seeing her father commit adultery with his also-married neighbor, seeing both of her parents hang on to their youth by flirting with her teenage friends had to be revolting. But although he is angered and disappointed by her disgust, Don tries to focus her on saving herself. She inherited her parents' great-looking genes, which can be both a curse and a blessing. Don realizes deep down that he's coasted on his looks and charm at times, and he's not very happy about that. Sally must resist the temptation to rest on her laurels, as both of her parents have. While she was too angry to process his words in the moment, she should come to realize that they fit in with her real goal, which is to transcend the mistakes of her parents. Number two. Joan finds a man who reconsiders dumping her over the quote-unquote burden of her son. What a prince. In the end, it looked like Joni found her elusive, long-term romantic partner, but the vehemence of his renunciation of the stepfather life was so strong that it has to be a sign of something foreboding. Joan felt ashamed, rightfully, when she realized that she had taken out her frustration about her life on her innocent son. Would that she remembers what that felt like any time Richard tempts her to revisit that vile impulse. Number one, Don is forced to acknowledge his existential quest. After distracting himself with a parade of randoms and then the mysterious Diana, the combination of his divorce, his hollowed-out penthouse, and his inability to compile a simple futuristic report for Roger led Don to realize that he doesn't know what he wants or should want. In a way, Don's embrace of the chase for answers mirrors the first half of the season when he made a significant move in the third episode, in that instance working to resecure his job at Sterling Cooper. It's notable that it comes more than a quarter of the way through the final chapter of the series, which had seemed to move with a Seinfeld-like commitment to be about nothing in particular. Throughout the series, and even throughout his backstory, Don Draper has been a man who's tried simply to numb his pain and run away from any attempt to deal with it. Now, in its final days, the show may be circling back once again to try to furnish an answer to the question, who is Don Draper? Given his talents and capacity for compassion, resolution of that simple issue could be far-reaching for others with their own problems, including Peggy and his family. We shall see. Thank you for having tuned in to FDH Lounge Mini Episode number 557.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.